God over answers our prayers. God simply over answers prayer. Once you get your Bibles and have them handy, now there's going to be a lot of verses of Scripture. So if you don't have time or you can't find those verses, just kind of look on the screen, please, if you will. They'll be there. One of the most often heard phrases in the church is simply this: God answers prayer. You've heard that a lot, haven't you, at church? God answers prayer. Well, that's true, and yet that's only half the truth. The whole truth is God over answers prayers. I want you to preach with me and look at these verses and just kind of rejoice about the good things of God, if you will, for a moment. He continually gives much more than we ask for. Our God continually gives us much more than we ask for. He gives us more blessings than perhaps we deserve. We already know all of those things. Oftentimes, he gives us more than what we would ask or think. But let's go straight to the biblical record. Let's start there in the book of Hosea, chapter 14. Actually, Hosea, God over-answered Israel here in Hosea 14. Hosea prophesied to Israel, you're backslidden. If you look at verse 1 there in chapter 14, they were a backslidden country, a backslidden nation. And so the man of God said, you're backslidden, but you're still God's people. Now return to the Lord and pray. And he said, take with you words and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. That's verse number 2. Now the prayer was a simple little prayer. Look at the prayer. It's right there on the screen. Just take a look. It's really simple. All Israel asked God to do was to take away their sin and receive them graciously. Lord, you have mercy on us. Cleanse us, please. Receive us back into your grace. That's what they prayed for. Yet God not only forgave their iniquity, he not only cleansed them and received them back graciously, he also added blessings beyond their imagination, much like God does for us. In fact, if you go down to verse number 4 now, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. The next verse, verse 5. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. And his branches shall spread. His beauty shall be as the olive tree and his smell as Lebanon. Verse number 7. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. And the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. What's he saying? Now the dew of heaven is actually the presence of God. And so up to this point, there had been drought everywhere. People were dying because God's favor had been taken away and everything was dying. But now God says, because of true repentance and a heartfelt prayer, God said, I'm going to cause life to spring back up again on all sides. And Israel not only would be forgiven, but they would be revived as well. And they would grow and become well-rooted and spread out and they would thrive. He said, now because you've come to me, I'm not just going to answer that little prayer request you had, but I'm going to over-answer that prayer and give you all these things as well. Wow, I'm telling you, God largely over-answered their prayer. Now, I want you to know that God has done the same thing for us. I need to say that again, and more than just two or three people need to say amen. God has done much of that same kind of thing for us. He has. You know that he has. When you repented, you asked God to do one thing. When you came to God for salvation, you said, dear God, please forgive me of my sin. And God forgave you of your sin. But since that day, God has done amazingly so much more for you than just forgive you of your sin. You better start looking at your life and thinking, what in the world God has done for me? He has done so much. He has cleaned your heart. He's forgiven you. He's given you peace. He has over-answered your prayer requests. You have a now that you're saved, you never used to have a hungering for God. You never used to have a hungering to sing the songs of Zion. You never used to have a hungering to hear the word of God preached. But now, since you're saved, have a clean heart. Now you got a hunger. You want
want to be in the house of God. You want to hear the Word of God preached. You want some man to preach to you. You want to sing. Why? Because God has given you all that sort of thing. He has over-answered your prayer. Come on, amen. He has put you in a place that now you have what you used to love, you hate. He has given you now literally a hatred for sin. If you're saved, born again, my brother, you hate sin. Because sin destroys people. I hate sin. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine today. And I told him, I said, I just literally hate sin and what sin does to people. I hate it. He's protected you from the raging mad devil since the day you got saved. Do you think the devil's just content because you got saved? Is he content? Does he still hate you? You suppose he wants to take you down? You suppose he wants to give you some dreaded disease? You better be thankful every day you get up that the God of heaven has protected you from the raging storms of the devil. You've got lots of things to be thankful for. He's flooded your soul with joy, hope, gladness. The world doesn't have that. Jesus has become your morning dew. He waters your soul. I got to thinking about that today, how that God waters my soul every day with the Word of God. Woo-hoo! I ought to shout just a little bit, raise the roof. Come on, amen. You know, you need to get in this book and let the blessings of heaven, let the dew of heaven bless your soul as well. You might start acting like this a little bit. You ask only to be saved. He cleansed you. He poured out his blessings upon you. He has over-answered your prayers. God over-answered Solomon's prayer. Let's just keep looking. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 9. Give therefore thy servant. Now notice what he prayed. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, and that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? You see it? Solomon prayed, Lord, all I want is wisdom. I gotta have some wisdom to know how to handle all these people. I pray that prayer every day to handle these people. I do. I pray every day. God, give me wisdom, please. Solomon prayed, Lord, all I want is wisdom to know how to handle your people. Now, it was a simple request, but look down at verse 11 and 12. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hath asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Woo, whoopee. God said, I've done what you've asked. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Yet God didn't stop there. Look at verse 13. And I have also given thee, oh, by the way, which thou hast not asked for, both riches and honor. So that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. If thou walk in thy ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did, then I will even do something else. I'll let you live longer. I'll lengthen thy days. I'm going to allow you to live longer. Because you're doing that. Because you didn't ask for it. Man, do you think God over-answered his prayer? All he wanted, now listen, all he wanted was to have wisdom to know how to deal with the people that God had given him to rule over. That's all he wanted. And yet God gave him all that stuff that's in those settings of Scripture. Even longer life. What an incredible response. God added to Solomon's wisdom blessings and honor and riches such as no other man has ever received. And on top of that, he gave him longer life. Another prayer greatly over-answered by our amazing God. Number three, God over-answered Israel regarding the Ammonites. In Judges chapter 10, verse number 9, moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan so to fight, so that Israel was sore distressed. Ammon had been used by God to correct Israel's sins. And now their army was marching toward Israel, and God's people were perplexed and downcast. They began to confess their sins. In fact, if you look at verse number 15, they began to confess. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, "We have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day." You see, they're praying. They were so haunted with their sin, they couldn't even conceive that God could even answer their request. Just spare them. They said, "Would you just please spare us, oh God? We're so embarrassed by our sins." Their prayer was very simple. "Lord, just deliver us." But God had something more in mind. He literally now will over-answer their prayer. Let me show you that in chapter 11, verse 32 and 33. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Aroer till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. Not only did God deliver Israel, he also gave them the courage and the direction to defeat the Ammonites. They subdued them from that time on. And they were, if you'll read history, they never were troubled by them ever again. Now that speaks something to me. I want you to know that God gives us power not just to be overcomers, but to subdue every enemy. And I believe somehow God wants us to conquer just like they conquered and subdue just like they subdued our enemies. There are enemies, brother, that we face every day, and somehow, some way, we need to start subduing those enemies so that we never have trouble with them again. Wouldn't it be great if once you got done with a problem, you were finally done with a problem because you got done with a problem? Because God helped you subdue those rascals. And you never had trouble again. And that's what happened to them. The life was more abundant. They had joy. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Not to be free of fear for just a day or a week, but the rest of their life, they were free. Number four, God over-answered David's prayer life. His prayer for life in Psalm 21. Go to Psalm 21. If you can't get there, it'll be on the screen, verse number 4. "He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever." Now, he asked God to save him from dying one day, and God answered his prayer. In verse number 4 says, "And thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever." But God went much further than that. If you go down to chapter, well, let's go to verse 3 and verse 5, please, first. He answered more. "For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head." Look at verse 5. "His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him." And then God added something else in verse number 6. "For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance." Wow. It's no wonder. It's no wonder David said this in Psalm 130, verse number 7. He says this, "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption." When he redeemed David and gave David all this stuff, David was so thankful. My goodness, God over-answers prayer. Look how God did it. He said, "Lord, you not only saved me, you poured out your blessings on me, your redemption." Well, that brought to my mind this afternoon Isaiah 55, verse 7. If you look at that verse, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will, how's that next word say? For our God will, abundantly. How's that say that again? Abundantly. He's not going to just pardon us. He will abundantly pardon us. Man, some of us have been very wicked in our day, and God will abundantly pardon us. What a God we serve. He over-answers our prayers. I got to thinking about that. God not only forgives sin, he over-answers our cry for forgiveness with abundant mercy and pardon. We should not be surprised by God doing that. But let's go to the New Testament now. Let's go to the New Testament and consider an even more glorious vision of God's over-answering nature, how he over-answers prayer. Number one, what about that man who was sick with the palsy? He lay on the bed sick of the palsy. Remember that? That's found in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. The paralyzed man sought Jesus for healing, but Jesus over-answered his prayer. You see, this man wanted to be healed of his palsy. Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. The sick man asked for healing, but Jesus gave him much more than healing. Do you see it? He added the greatest gift he could possibly give. The man got his healing, but even better yet, he received forgiveness of sins. He received eternal life. He received good cheer to replace the years of sadness. God over-answered his prayer. What a God. Jesus had known all the while, I think, he was going to do that. He knew this man would walk again. First, I want to bless you, he said. I want to over-answer your request. I'll heal your body, but also heal your soul. I'll heal your mind. Now he says, take up your bed and go home. He over-answered his prayer. What about the thief on the cross? Now, I'm coming to the end of this message after a bit, but you've got to get all this stuff first. What about the thief on the cross? Remember what the thief on the cross said, if you follow me, please, to Luke chapter 23, verse number 42. The thief who hung there next beside Jesus asked only one thing. Does anybody remember what he asked? What did the thief ask Jesus? The other one was cursing and swearing and talking about Jesus, but the one thief said something very important. Does anybody know what he said? Anybody want to say it to me? What did he say? Remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. All he was saying is, hey, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? That's all he said. He didn't say anything else. He didn't ask a long list of whatever. He said, all I want to ask is, I'm going to ask it, would you remember me, please? Jesus truly over-answered that man's request. Look at verse 43. Woo-hoo. I feel like running right now, but I probably should not. I feel like just running off this stage and go, woo, glory. Look what he did. Jesus over-answered this man's request, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He said, I'll remember you. I'll remember you, son, because you're coming with me. Woo! Hey! Oh, I'll remember you because you're coming with me today in my Father's house. Come on. He over-answered his prayer. All he said was, would you just remember me? Yeah, you're going to walk with me. Talk about over-answered prayer. This thief could have not even conceived of that. But he was told he would be walking in a few hours in paradise beside Jesus. Whew. What about the crippled beggar who asked alms of Peter and John as they entered the temple? Go with me to Acts chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. A certain lame man, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. Again, that's a simple request, by the way. Come on, somebody say amen. That's a simple request. All I want is a little bit of money. An alms is just a little bit of money. I don't know how much money he was asking for. Don't know. But let's put it in our vernacular. Maybe he was asking for, I hope I could just get a quarter. Maybe I could get a buck. Maybe I could get two or three bucks. I don't know. Alms, just a little money. Yet what an answer the beggar got. Verse 4. Scripture says, Peter fastened his eyes upon him. The beggar probably thought, here it comes. I'll probably get a buck. Maybe a buck and a half. Maybe six quarters. Maybe seven quarters. Maybe 2 50-cent pieces. I don't know. It's going to be a good day, I think. Instead, he got something all the money in the world can't buy. Look at verse 6 and 8. 6 through 8. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. It freaks some of you out. Walking and leaping and saying, "Woo! Praise God!" It just freaks some of you out. Some of you Presbyterians. "I don't think it ought to be that noisy at church." He was just healed, and the Bible said he went leaping and walking in the house of God and praising God. Do you suppose he was going? No. He go, "Woo! Woo!" You make it your own rendition when you preach. It's my preaching time. I'll make it mine. He went leaping and walking and praising God into the temple. He got much more than 25 cents. You know why? Because God knows how to over-answer prayer. Because he is the God who over-answers prayer. Wow. What a Savior. Number four. What about Cornelius? Cornelius prayed diligently for a revelation of God's word. And God marvelously over-answered his prayer. The Lord had spoken to Cornelius about Peter in a vision. So the centurion sent three servants to Joppa. You might remember the story. It's found in verses 44 and 46 of Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 22. It starts there. Wanted to hear the words. And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee." Want to hear some words of thee. You see it? We want to hear the word of the Lord. Yet look at how God over-answered this request, verses 44, 45, and 46. "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Then answered Peter. Wow. Look at verse 48. "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they then prayed they him to tarry certain days." What happened, preacher? The people standing nearby not only got the word, they were saved. They received, listen, they received the Holy Spirit. Not only did they receive the Holy Spirit, but then they were all baptized in water. Cornelius only wanted the gospel, but God poured out heaven on everybody that was there. You talk about a God that knows how to over-answer prayer. What are you praying for? Now, come on, what are you praying for? And you're saying, "Well, God never listens to me." Don't you tell me that. God listens to you. And this is the confidence that we have in him. 1 John 5:14. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And the next verse, "And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions we desired of him." And he would like to over-answer your prayer. Think about that. The New Testament is filled with promises proving God loves to over-answer the prayers of his people. That's Roman numeral 6 there. The New Testament is filled with promises of over-answered prayers. Ephesians. Make sure you tell those banshee kids that I said it right. Ephesians. Chapter 3, go there. Verse number 20. The most familiar promise of all is Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Woo-hoo. Few of us live as if we believe that. Few of us live as if we really believe that. Come on, amen. Few of us live like we really believe what that verse says. God isn't able just to answer our prayers. He wants to do so exceedingly abundantly, above all that we can even imagine. He wants to answer us not according to any of our puny requests, but according to his riches and his might. He wants to give it till it runs out. The Bible tells us elsewhere, and here's where we have to see a lot of verses. You can write them down, but you'll not have time to stay with me. Just write them down. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, they'll be on the screen. Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Now listen, it didn't say God, it said shall men give into your bosom. That's how God does it, through men. Listen to it. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have come entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. God gives you everything to enjoy. Quit griping and fussing. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. God gives it all to you to enjoy. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. God wants you to. God is virtually begging us, I think, to ask for some great things. We like to call the Lord our King, but do you pray for a large request worthy of our King's greatness? A king is obligated to care for his subjects, and his people honor him by asking largely, believing that they have a need, and they need that abundantly supplied. Saying of God, you can't call God king and then accuse him of letting his subjects continue to wallow in need. If you need something from God, ask him. He said he'll supply all your need. Hold it. That's not all of it. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And there's nobody any richer than God, because he owned it all. It's all his. What do you need? What is it? Ask largely. God will give it to you. I think we need to do that. I ask you, have you embarrassed God by your puny request? Sometimes I think, God, am I embarrassing you by my puny request? I ought to be asking for another building program to be built and more folks, like 1,000 come to our church, or then 1,500. Why fiddle around with 300, 400? Ask largely. Why talk about repairing a parking lot? Let's just build another one. Scaredy cats. You know that's how we are. Oh, is the Lord going to be with us? He said ask largely. He wants to give you abundantly above all that you ask or think. Wow, what a God. What does Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 really say? It does say this, does it not? Look on the screen, it's right there. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. My wife was reading a text of Scripture this week. I think it was this week, maybe last week. And she said, all of a sudden she found it. And of course, I've preached about it, and she's heard it, but it was just new again. You know how that is in the Bible? You come across something you've already read, but you think, well, I've never seen that before. But she's seen it before. But she said to me, honey, did you ever see this verse of Scripture? That the man of God told them to quit bringing stuff because they had too much money now. Wouldn't that be good at church, she said. I said, I've preached about that. Don't you remember that? No, I don't remember that. But isn't that a good Scripture? And it is a good Scripture. The man of God said, okay, that's enough. You don't need to bring any more. We got plenty. Well, try me. Isn't God good? I tell you, He over-answers our prayers. Listen to me. Now, let's talk about this. Can we grieve God, even anger Him, by not asking? This is a Wednesday night. We're trying to learn something from the Bible here. I've tried to show you that God, have I showed you that God over-answers prayer? Yes or no, have I? Have I showed you from Scripture, not my thoughts, but the Scriptures, right? God over-answers prayer, doesn't He? He gives more than what people ask for. But hold on, here's my next question. Can we grieve God, even anger Him, by not asking? You know, we think it is something spiritual to say, oh, Pastor, I just go to church and worship God. I don't ever ask God for anything. And we think that's spiritual talk. And then we say something like this, I don't ask God for anything, Pastor. I'll tell you, if God wants to give it to me, fine. If He doesn't, that's fine too. And that sounds kind of holy, but it isn't. That's not holy at all. It's not even scriptural. Over and over again, Jesus has implored us to ask. Ask in my name, He said. Ask and you shall receive, He said. Ask anything. Whatsoever you ask, He said. Ask what you will. You have not because you ask not. God gives good things to those who ask, He says. He knows what you need even before you ask, He said. Now, I don't have all those references down. I just wrote all that stuff down because I remember all that stuff that the Bible said that God said that we should do about asking. Am I right? Do you remember what He said about all that? He said, ask in my name. Ask and you shall receive. Ask anything. Whatsoever you ask, you can have it. You have not because you ask not. God gives good things to those who ask. He knows what you need even before you ask. Ask the Father in my name and I'll give it to you. I remember all those verses. I don't remember where they're all at, but I know all those verses are in this book. You can ask. And God says, I want you to ask. Now hold a minute. Doesn't God already know? Well, then why does He want you to ask? Because that makes Him God. He wants you to ask. Now, if somebody told me all you have to do is ask, I think I'd just ask. Come on, amen? Look at Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Now, isn't that a powerful verse? God already knows what you need, but He wants you to ask. And while you're asking, He's already decided He's going to give it to you anyway. I love that verse. Powerful verse. Look at Isaiah chapter 7. Let me just teach you something real quickly. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, now, this is Ahaz. Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. Now, he's being told to ask God. Ahaz's response may have sounded holy, but he actually says, no, I won't tempt God. But it actually angered God. It was hypocritical because God knew already that Ahaz had lost his faith long before this time. Ahaz represents, I think, the backslidden church Christian who's lost their faith in God, who don't believe in His great resources. Ahaz didn't want to have his faith tested because he didn't have any faith to test. And many Christians today don't ask God for anything because it's going to test their faith, something they don't have. You see, Israel needed deliverance. So God invited Ahaz to ask for confirmation of his faithfulness by a sign, by any sign the king could think of, from heaven to hell. But Ahaz already had planned to call on the king of Samaria to help. If you go to verse number 13, I think it was verse 12, Tammy. Get verse 12 up there. I don't know if it's 12 that I want, but anyway, he was going to ask the king of Samaria to help him. And as he did that, Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. There it is. I'm not going to ask God. I'm not going to tempt God. That's where a lot of people, I just don't want to tempt God. No, what it is, you don't want to have your faith tested. That's the problem, because you don't have any faith. That's where Ahaz was. Now verse 13, please, if you will. Now follow this verse, please. And he said, hear you now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Look at verse 14. Now he said it to ask. He told him to ask. And what did the king say? I don't do that. I don't embarrass God, and I don't want to presume on God, and I don't want to tempt God. Then you get down to verse 14. Now that Hebrew word for weary means disgust. God was saying, how long are you going to keep wearying me or disgusting me because you're afraid to ask for my word? Sometimes I tell people, why are you so hard-headed that you can't just ask God and believe God to answer your request? Why are you trying to always find a sign or something? Why don't you just ask God? I've talked to a number of people this week, just tons of people this week. My office was so busy Tuesday, talking to so many people. I said to so many, when are you just going to ask God and believe that God can do this? And quit frustrating yourself. Quit worrying about every little item of life. God will over-answer your prayers if you'll let him. How long are you going to keep wearying me? When do you ever learn that I have everything you need? That's what God's saying. I'll take care of you. God's saying to Ahaz, I'm your king. By the way, he's our king too. Listen, what are you fretting with God with right now? What is it? Physical? Financial? Spiritual? Take it to God tonight at the altar here and just give in to God and give it to him. And quit worrying about it. Quit wearying God. Well, God tried to tell him, I'm your king and I'll take care of you. So Isaiah told Israel, well, you didn't ask for a sign. I told you to, but you didn't. But now God's going to give you one anyway. Look at verse 14. You've seen it up there on the screen already. But look at verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Now watch this. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. This is talking about Jesus. And bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Beloved, this was the greatest over-answer of any prayer in history. This is it. Barry, this is it. The people had cried, send us a deliverer. We want somebody to deliver us. Almost sounds like the American people. Let's get rid of Obama. We need a leader. Now hold it. Maybe we're looking for leadership in the wrong direction. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. But we want a leader. We want somebody we can put our hands on. We cry for a deliverer, hoping some man will come. But God answered. And God said, oh yeah, you're going to get a man, all right. And I'm sending one to you. And this man I'm sending will be a deliverer. But not just for you, but for all mankind. God over-answered their prayer with Emmanuel, God with us. He sent Jesus. What is it you need tonight? Now let's go back to that book, Ephesians 3:20. In Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel, we have God's most glorious over-answer of all. He is the fullness of God. In Him, all the riches and all the blessings abound. He is our great resource. And in Him is exceeding abundantly more than we ask or think. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Your saints, you're going to go to your prayer closet again tomorrow, or maybe yet tonight some of you will. I don't know where your prayer closet is. I don't know where you get alone with God, but you'll get alone, I hope you do, somewhere, sometime. Just you and God, away from everyone else, even your mates, even the radio and the TV. And remember that verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Open yourself up to God. Bring all your requests to God. Pray believing, because I believe with all of my heart. All we need to do is just start praying, because God, Brother Ron, is willing to over-answer our prayers. I have showed you again and again in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I sat today just rejoicing in my office, having myself just a good old time, praising the Lord. God, you over-answered so many people. You're going to over-answer a bunch of folks at Harvest Baptist Temple. Listen, He's already done that. We better be awake. God's already done that. He's blessed us more than we deserve. He's given us more than we would have ever thought we would ever have. Where are you at tonight? Do you need to come to God tonight and say, "Dear God, do something in my life? God, I'm going to bring you a prayer request. I'm going to come. I'm going to believe that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And God, I believe you're going to give me an over-answered prayer." What is it tonight? Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. He delights in over-answering you in His own way and in His own time.